Okay. Well, Father, this morning we just pray, Father, that you lead us this morning, Lord. Help our hearts just to get right, Father. I don't know what happened. I know myself. I woke up in a really weird mood today. I'm happy, but I also feel like I could fall off the edge any second. So, Lord, I just pray that you help me. And if anyone else is going through that today too, Lord, Father, I pray that you just help us just tell our flesh no and say yes to your spirit. And Father, I pray for anyone here right now, Lord, that's hurting, Lord God. And maybe there's fear, maybe there's worry. Lord God, we pray, Father, they're able just to lay it down, Lord. We know that we don't have control, Lord God, but you do, Father, and we are going to trust in you, and we're going to say, Lord, even though we don't understand these circumstances, Lord, I'm going to only choose to keep my eyes on you. Father, I pray for anyone here right now that needs physical healing, Lord, that you just be with them, Lord, and help anything that they're going through. Just give them strength, Father. Help the healing to be quick, Lord. And for spiritual healing, Lord God, if anyone in our family is, or even people that are here, Lord, that have been jaded by past experiences with churches, Lord, or even just people, Father, I pray, Lord, that we don't put any of our faith or trust necessarily in others, Lord, but we just keep it all in you, Father. You're the one that we always are to look to. You're our standard, and you're our hope, and you're our salvation, and our rock, and just everything to us. You will never fail us, Lord.
Alone in my sorrow and dead to myself, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in, when death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty. Was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so sweet, washes over me. You have made me new. Made us new, now life begins.
Father, every good thing in us is because of you. I pray, Father, that we use this time on earth, Lord, and we use it wisely. You know, I find myself getting so worried about the future. The Lord wants us to be wise and, you know, take care of things, but I think sometimes we can get so caught up, and then we start to worry, and then we start to fear. Are we going to have enough? Are we going to do enough? What's going to happen, you know, when we retire, when we're 80? Father, help us to focus right now on today, Lord. Help us to say, Father, who do you want me to speak to today, Lord? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to lay down? Help us not to worry about tomorrow, Father.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. That see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when
Father, help us to really, really just as we are singing right now and having worship time, Father, I pray that we use this time to truly say, Lord, I'm yours. Speak to me. Father, help us to use this time just to really just get our hearts right at this moment. If we've had a bad attitude this week, Lord God, if we've hurt others, Lord God, if we've failed you, which all of us, I'm sure, can say we have, we can say, Father, just clean me right now, Lord God. Just make me new. Just forgive me, Father. Wipe that away from my slate. And help me to learn better. Help me to learn more quickly, Father, so that next time I won't make that mistake or I'll stop myself beforehand. When I'm about to say something mean or hurt that person, I'll stop myself. I'll try to take control of my tongue, Lord. That maybe the opinion I had when I spoke to someone was that just an opinion. Father, help me to speak words of truth and words of life into others, Lord God. Less of me and more of you, Father.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'll sing again. You are my Father in heaven. You are the Spirit inside me. You are my Jesus who loves me.
You're the Spirit inside of us, Father, young and old. I pray, Father, that as adults, we allow you to use the young to even correct us and to teach us to you, Lord God, because your Spirit's inside of them just as much as it is in us, Father. We pray, Father, that you give these kids here today, Lord God, just such wisdom at a young age, Lord God, and such a hunger to want to follow you, Lord. I know that sometimes as an adult, as a parent, I can seem maybe like a hypocrite or just like I'm just wandering to you, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you cover me in love with that, Lord, but that you also just let the kids, even my kids, any kids here say, Father, I'm hungering after you and I want to learn, Lord God. I want my kids even go beyond me, Father. Help them to be so strong in you, Lord, that when they get to the age of being an adult, Lord, they're going to say, we were overcomers when we were young. I know that we can be overcomers now, Lord. We give you this day, Father. Please lead us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. I was about to say, who put this gum up here on my podium? It was for me last Sunday, if you weren't here. We are a different kind of church, but we love the Lord, and that's the most important thing. There's a box of books up here that's been donated. If you'd like to come up here and take one after service, they are free as a gift to you in Jesus' name because we love you. If anybody is new and would like this little pamphlet from the Billy Graham Foundation by a guy by the name of Robert Munger, and it's called My Heart, Christ's Home. If anyone has not read this yet, we would just like to give it to you. It's just a very short thing. You can read it in the library. Okay, we just want to give it to you in Jesus' name. Okay, thank you. Wonderful. Pray in Jesus' name. God would bless you and speak to you. You're welcome, Alana. You got it? Anybody else? Going once? Oh, coming up. Love it. Love it. Beautiful. Wonderful. Love it. I love it. God bless you. Wonderful. See you, Ma. Yep. You got it. Receive it in Jesus' name. You want me to? All right, Chantel, for you, it's going to cost extra. All right. You give that to her? Okay. All right. Well, we are glad you're here and just want to say thank you. Before I forget, CYIA people, we prayed for some folks last week, some of the youth that are going to this Christian Youth in Action. I think it was my mind. Okay, first I got to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story first?
No.
Okay, great. Well, that didn't see that one coming. Somebody surely wants to hear it, Mark. Okay. So you know where we're talking in the book of Habakkuk, and he's, why, Lord, why is this happening? How long? And so so here I am. I was a wire crier this week. Okay, so you guys, you know, I'm a little forgetful if you know me. And so so this week, I never get out, and I'm like, man, I've just got to get out. I've got to ride my bike. So I got on my bike, and I started just riding. I mean, really pedaling it hard because, you know, I'm making up for about 5 years of zero exercise. So I'm feeling good about myself. Oh, Lord, I'm just getting out just for a little bit. I'm going to go, and I'm going to study. I'm going to put my earplugs. I got the phone. I'm going to listen to some Bible teaching, right? I'm just going to get alone. And I'm cranking it, right? Just cranking it. And there's this little place where you can't see this little patch of vegetation's there, and you can't see the sidewalk goes like and so as I'm going, you know, 20-30 miles an hour cranking it, there's another person that I didn't notice and that he didn't notice because you can't see, going about 20-30 miles an hour the other way. I'm gonna make sure, hold on 1 second, I want to make sure that person is not in the audience. Oh, fantastic. Very nice guy, but certainly an unbeliever. We both use Jesus Christ's name, but he used it a lot in a very different way. Anyway, so we collided. We saw each other at like 1 second, so I hit the brake. I had like 1 second, and he didn't hit the brake at all. He panicked, and so I hit it, and of course it catapulted me. Whoa! So your pastor was catapulting into this guy who is bigger, and of course we tumbled on the ground, and both our bikes were trashed, and I was a little bit of a concussion, and so I was like feeling like I'm going to vomit, and I was trying to get up, but I was going down for a while. So anyway, I say all this, of course, you know, I'm still so sore, and of course I'm thinking to myself, you know, why, Lord? I was just trying to spend time with you and to be a blessing to others. I could learn it, take your word, give it away, God. That's just me. And I'm doing all this wire crying, and so if I'm here for you today and I forget like who you are or why I'm here for no reason, it's a little bit of the concussion that happened this week. And so as I'm thinking about this, the Lord gives me a scripture verse. Just as we're worshiping, he gives me a verse. It's on Isaiah 38. I'm like, huh, what's that? So I open it up. I'm like, Lord, what are you putting on my heart here? And it says, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered this anguish. So I'm thinking, Lord, how am I going to do this with the... Okay, Lord, right. You've got a purpose in all these things, right? I might not understand it or see it clearly, but you're going to work it out, and you're going to work something in me and through me, even though I might not understand it right now at the time. And it's the same way in each of our lives, right? And it's the same way with Habakkuk too. So we have to trust him in all things. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, back to the CYAA stuff. All right, so we prayed for some of the kids. I think we prayed for three of the teens. Last week, I think we prayed for Hezekiah and Joe and Skylar. Okay, so I think next week, I know the Weavers aren't here this because it's Baby Tate's third birthday there in Orlando. Anyway, Olivia and Asdaline are also going now. And so we want to pray for them next week. So guys, don't let me forget. We want to bring them up and pray over them as a body. Also, we just want to share that the church, you guys, us as a body, because it's missionary, intense missionary training for the week. They're going up to like a college dorm and studying from sunup to sundown. We, as a body, are going to pay a portion of their missionary training as they go. And so we just want to encourage you. So if you're a part of that, we're paying that 25%, $100 of that for that missionary training. So for each kid. So we just want to let you guys know that. And that's, you guys are being a blessing in the body, and we want to support that missionary training. If there's any other teens that want to go to that, please, please come see me, and I'll put you in touch with Mrs. Brower from CEF.
How many do we want to send?
Well, she said six, and right now we have five.
Well, she was praying for six. I think it was six more.
Oh, she wants six more. Well, all right. Okay. Yeah, I think, maybe she did want 10. Well, she's got five of us now. We got half from our church. So that's pretty awesome. So thank you, Lord. But if anybody else wants to go, please, please, please let me know. And we'll go from there. Okay. You guys know tithes go in the back. Okay. If anybody's looking for a place to serve, We would love some help on the cleanup crew. It's so easy, especially in a little church, it's easy for folks to get kind of burnt out, you know what I mean, because they're working and serving so faithfully. So if on Sunday mornings there's anybody who would like to, you know, pick one Sunday a month where they can kind of help clean up and vacuum afterwards, or on Thursday nights for our barbecue and Bible studies, we would love to have you come and help do that, because we need the help. So please come see me if you're interested. Also, the children's ministry, if we need a nursery worker, and also someone for teaching the kids. And so if you are interested in doing that once a month, and you would like to, if you love the Lord and you want to invest in those kids and pour into those kids and bless the families that are here, we would so love to have you. And so please see Lisa or myself for that. And then also, one last thing, a lot of people ask, hey, can we have these things that you, these PowerPoints that you post up on here? They ask for this all the time, posted or something like that. And so if anybody is on Facebook daily, I'm not even on Facebook. I'm like the only person on the planet, apparently. So if anybody here is on Facebook daily and you love the Lord and you're mature in the Lord, we would like to give you some of these slides, give you like a little job, and to post, you know, maybe one of these, two or three of these slides a week, that you would put them up there. And so if that's you and you've been coming, this is your home church, and you love the Lord and you're on Facebook already, we'll show you how to do that. So come see me after church, and we'd love to have you help. Okay. Again, I Can Only Imagine movie. We want to encourage everybody to go see that. Ronnie, anything you want to say about that since you're here today? I saw you come in here. I saw you in this building. Ronnie, where are you? Ronnie, is there anything you want to say? Okay, then I'm going to give you the mic.
Oh, we got to do the mic.
Yes, sorry. Everybody?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. That movie was the most awesome movie I have ever seen. It changed my whole entire life. It changed me spiritually. It changed me from things that I was not good at thinking about because they were bad thoughts about my mother, things when I was growing up, et cetera, et cetera. But when I saw this movie, it took every bit of all of that away from me and gave me something new in my heart. Every time I hear that song, it just, I have a cry. You know, it's wonderful. I don't even know how to describe the feeling that I'm trying to tell you right now, but it's just awesome. It's God. I know it is. And it's, that's the best thing I ever did for myself, was to go see that movie.
Wow.
Everybody needs to see it. They're going to get something out of it. I guarantee it.
Good word. Good word. Thanks. Would you hand that microphone to Nehemiah? Nehemiah, would you be the runner today? Okay. Also in the theaters is Paul the Apostle of Christ and God's Not Dead. If you want to go see those movies, we want to encourage you. Again, thank you for the baptism. We showed that last week. If anybody got a picture of Ryan, because we had a tornado warning when we got the baptism, I don't know if anybody took a picture of Ryan. If anybody did, would you please see me? Sue? Okay. All right. Okay, let's skip some of this and go right into the Bible teachings. You guys know what we have here. You know, prayer, Sunday mornings. I got here just at the tail end of it. Ooh! And I loved it. I saw some more folks praying. I'm so excited when I see that. Sunday mornings here at 9:30. Love it. Ecclesiastes?
Yeah, we may finish Ecclesiastes, and we'll have some pulled pork and barbarian dogs.
Pulled pork and barbarian dogs this Tuesday, 6 p.m. at Home Fellowship Church. It'll be great. Also, Wednesday, the Transformers. Youth group, 6:30 to 8:30. We will not be having barbecue and Bible study this week. Everybody understand? No Thursday barbecue and Bible study. No, it's not the 5th. It's just I found out that I'm going to be away. I'll get to that in a second. The school is going to Discovery Cove this week. Okay, and we're taking about 15 of us for this week to, this is an amazing place up in Orlando. And so 15 folks from the school, and I'm one of them to help chaperone. And so we will not be here. So Thursday, just this Thursday, no barbecue, no Bible study. Okay. And so please pray for us because there'll be, you know, 15 kids. And I'll be among them. So just pray. 16, yes. All right. Well, you guys know all this. Book of recommendation, not a fan. We'll get to that another time. Sherry Kim. Okay. So we are in the book of Habakkuk. All right. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and kind-hearted Chris will deliver one right to you. We'll give you an extra minute to find the book of Habakkuk, because it's not easy to find. We are in chapter 2, and it's about questioning God in stormy times. Asking him questions. Why? How long? If you remember, the prophet Habakkuk is wrestling with God. He doesn't understand why God's not doing some things and doing other things. In fact, Habakkuk's name means to wrestle or to embrace. And he's having a hard time. He's wrestling with God. He's having a hard time embracing what God is doing and his timing on things. He doesn't understand it. And in the book of Habakkuk, he starts by complaining. And he's just saying, Lord, how long must I wait? And we talked about that. And why, Lord, why? And we talked about how God understands the why questions. He can handle those why questions and the how long questions, you know. John the Baptist asked how long. Jesus even said, my God, why have you forsaken me in Matthew? And we told tons of why questions in the Psalms. God can handle our heart. He can handle real when we're hurting, when we're down, when we're depressed, when we're exasperated, when we're freaking out, when we're confused. God can handle that. He says, cast how many of your burdens on Jesus? Cast all of them, not just some of them. He wants you to cast all of your burdens on him. And you know why? Because he cares for you. So whatever you're going through, you give it to him. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever hopelessness you might feel, you give it to him. Because the Lord will carry that burden for you. Because he loves you. God can handle that. We talked about, you know, why he was asking a lot of why questions. Why am I seeing all this iniquity in myself? Why am I seeing all this iniquity in my people? I can't believe it, God. And then he's saying, why aren't you doing something? And if you remember what happened, he's asking all these why questions. God answers them. And he starts counseling. He's like, why aren't you doing this, Lord? Because you're not doing anything. Things are so bad around here. It's violence. You're not rebuking anybody in our God's people in Israel. You're not doing anything. And it's getting worse. This is what you need to do. And he starts counseling God. So God kind of corrects him and says, okay, here, I am judging our people. And judgment is coming. I'm already working. I'm bringing in the Babylonians. And they're a pretty wicked group. And they're going to be judging. They're going to be my hand of judgment for God's people. They've rejected me time and time. I've sent prophets. I've sent warnings. I've loved on you. I've been patient with you. I've been kind with you. I've been warning you, and you've not listened to me. And so now I'm sending in judgment. And we talked about just how the Bible confirms the historicity of archaeology confirms the historicity of the Bible and the Babylonians during those period with Nebuchadnezzar and the ruthlessness of them through art and history, gouging out people's eyes, putting hooks in noses. And I mean, they were a brutal people and their cavalry galloping headlong into battle and all the things the Bible says, just confirming it's true, building encampments and ramps to capture fortified cities. He's sending them in. And you guys know the story. Eventually, that's what's going to happen. And he's going to take, Babylon is going to take God's people back. And you can read about it in Daniel for 70 years before they get to come back into the land because they rebelled against God. Now, that's basically chapter 1 because Habakkuk's complaining and then God answers him. And then to be honest, Habakkuk doesn't like the answer. He's like, wait a minute, God. We're bad and we're doing wrong. I got that. We need to be rebuked. But the Babylonians, they're even worse than us. Now he's even more confused. But God is going to use them to bring in judgment. And so he's like, wait, I'm freaking out now. I don't understand. Now here's the thing. I don't know if any of you, how many of you guys saw the movie The Matrix? Raise your hand. Okay. give it another year, kid. Anyway, so in The Matrix, if you remember, right, they lived in a fantasy world, right? It was a made-up reality, right? And there was a time when Neo was offered the red pill or the blue pill. And here was the deal. If you took that red pill, which my little mind equates to the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, all I can promise you is truth. So if you took the red pill, it would reveal truth. And if you took the blue pill, you'd leave you trapped in the illusion. It's the same with Jesus Christ. If you want that red pill, if you want the blood of Jesus Christ, if you want the word of God, then you have to take the good words with the hard words. Here's what I'd like to do. This is my preference. I would just love to come here every Sunday and only give you the encouraging things. I would love it. Everybody would come out of here with a big high. We'd be given high fives. Everybody would be feeling good. And that's wonderful. And there are times when God's word does do that. But there's also times when God's word will rebuke. There's times when God's word's going to correct our stinking thinking, isn't there? God's word has to be able to do that. And so as we get into chapter 2 and Habakkuk's complaining, it's a hard word. But it is the truth, and it is the truth from God's word. And so we need to listen to it. It says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching us, instructing us, correcting us, even rebuking us. And so as we get into God's word today, Habakkuk's feeling disappointed. He's confused. He's feeling disappointment. I don't understand, Lord, your answers. I don't understand what's going on. But if you're feeling disappointment, and maybe that's you here today, if you replace the D with an H in disappointment, it becomes his appointment. So listen. So maybe some of you are going through a disappointing time with God. Maybe you expected God to work X way, right? Or an X timing, and he's working a very different way. I'm sure Habakkuk was thinking, hey, bring in revival, change hearts. Oh, I don't want you to judge us, Lord. Wait, no, I didn't want that. See, God's working in a way, but he is working. And so if you're in a place of disappointment, just think, okay, God, you have God's promise. If you're here and you're a born-again Christian, this is his promise to you in Romans chapter 8, 28. It says that God works some things to the good. What? Are you correcting the pastor? Yes, you should, because I got it wrong. The scripture says in Romans 8, 28, that God what? Works all things to those who love him and called according to his purpose. That means everything. So that means even in the disappointments, God has an appointment for you. He's trying to instruct you. He's trying to teach you. Will you listen? Will I listen? Okay? And this is kind of where we're at as we start Habakkuk chapter 2 together. And you're going to find out when you get done with Habakkuk chapter 2, he's going to realize that this disappointment is really an appointment. And in chapter 3, we're not going to get to it today. He's going to just be praising the Lord. He's going to have a prayer to the Lord. So let's start off. Thank you, Chris. I'll read, how about verse 1 and 2, all right, of chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2 or Habakkuk chapter 2, whatever you want to say, verses 1 and 2. Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint or when I'm rebuked. So I think Habakkuk knows that he's kind of pushing it with God here. You know what I mean? He's complaining, he's whying, he's how long, and I think he knows that, but God answers so graciously here. And he's thinking, I'm just going to go up on the ramparts. He's likening himself to a watchman. Do you know what a watchman is? It's not a guy who fixes your watch. Okay, this is, if you could hit that light for just a second. This is the Damascus Gate in Jerusalem. There's a bunch of different gates around the old city of Jerusalem. I'm trying to remember some of them. Lion's Gate, Jaffa Gate, Dung Gate, yes, Zion Gate. There's a bunch of different gates. This is a gate, okay? It's a defensive structure. So you know when the Bible says, hey, when Peter gave his profession of Christ and he said, hey, That's right, Peter. I am the Christ, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. You remember that? Everybody thinks, oh, we're Christians, we should hide in our corner. No, what Jesus is saying is the gates of hell, the defensive structure of hell, can't stand against the power of the name of Jesus. So this is a gate, okay? And it's a defensive structure. These are the towers and the gates, okay? And you see these little things over here? Okay? They're ramparts. They're parapets, little ramparts back there, okay? This is the Damascus Gate. I think if you go left, if I remember correctly, you go into the Muslim quarter. If you go right, you go into the Christian quarter of the city. But anyway, when he's talking about up on the ramparts, I've walked those. I'm sure Rumsey has too. But, you know, you walk along these little, it's hard to see here, but along these walls, and you get up there, and you can overlook the whole city. You can kind of see everything. These are the ramparts, and well, I have a watchman walking the ramparts in Jerusalem, but really, that's a tourist walking the ramparts. But that's what it would have been like, okay? So he's going up to the tower. He's going up to the ramparts. He's looking over the city, and he sees himself as a watchman. And what a watchman did in those days as he looked out, if you go up on those walls in Jerusalem, you can see for miles. How about it? You can see cities and towns. It's incredible, all around you. So he's up there in Jerusalem. He's on these ramparts, right? And he's looking out. He's seeing himself as a watchman, thinking, as the enemy comes in, that watchman warns everybody, hey, judgment is coming. Hey, the enemy's coming. We need to get ready, right? But the people weren't doing that. And God's going to answer him up there. He's looking out over the city going, oh my goodness. Judgment's coming. He sees himself as that watchman. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33, God tells Ezekiel, he said, listen, you are to tell people what I'm to say, whether they listen or fail to listen. And he said, if you don't warn them about the judgment to come, if you don't warn them about their sin, you know what he says? I'm going to hold you responsible. And their blood will be on your hands. That's in Ezekiel 3:17-19 and Ezekiel 33. I can't remember. Ezekiel 33 something, maybe 1-3. But those are the two chapters. So, and when I think about that for like us, I think we have that same spiritual responsibility to not just tell people the pleasant things, right? We have to say the hard things. Look, John 3:36 says this. This is, we're watchmen. If you're a born-again Christian, he's made you a watchman on the wall. He's telling you, you have a mission. I know you just want to hide and watch Netflix. Do you know what I mean? I just want to go for walks on the beach, pina coladas, or whatever. I just want to collect shells. You know what I mean? I don't want to serve. I don't want to warn. I don't want people to get mad at me. But God is saying to you, you're a watchman. I've called you to speak the truth, whether people listen or fail to listen. And so the Bible says in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Wow. So here's the deal. If you have not given over your heart and life to Jesus Christ, if you're just going to church or going to youth group, the wrath of God abides in you. That means his judgment is coming. Just like he's bringing Babylon to judge the Israelites, that wrath is coming. And when it comes, it will be too late to repent then. So God is pleading with you to turn to him right now because he loves you. He says, turn around from that stinking thinking. Turn around from that unbelief. Help me with my unbelief, Lord. You have a responsibility to warn your friends, to live a life where people can look at you and see Jesus. You need to warn them of what's coming. That's why we teach all of the Word of God here. If you stay with us for years, that's what's going to happen. You're going to see the whole Bible being taught. You're going to see book by book, verse by verse. Acts 20, verse 26, 27, Paul said the same thing. He said, Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all. Just like Ezekiel, I'm innocent because I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I didn't just tell you nice, funny stories. I'm going to tell all of it. And anybody, and I would encourage you, read through all of it, right? Speak it. Respectfully, but speak it. Nehemiah, you have the microphone. Would you bring that to Miss Natalie? Thank you. I see that her hand is up, so I want to run like quick like a bunny. Quick like a bunny. Quick like a bunny. Keep going. Keep going.
I just want to say for the new believers, we have a responsibility to speak that truth, to yes. witness to them, to live that life. But remember that it's God that will change their heart. Don't Absolutely. Badger them. And I know yes. we've said this many times, but for the new ones that Good. Are here, it's not about you can't change their heart. No. Only God can. So live it out. Yes. Speak the truth to them. Pray for them.
Yes.
But let God do the work.
Yes. You'll never nag someone into the kingdom. And you'll never argue someone into the kingdom. You think if you win a debate, you're not going to argue someone into the kingdom. It's a work of God. He's drawing them. And you can't make them change their hearts towards the Lord. You can just present the truth. You can show them love. You can encourage them. But you can't make it happen. That's between them and God. Yes, ma'am.
I find, not all the time, but so many people do, you know, when they think they're going to share, they share the doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to happen and, you know, the world is coming to an end. And I mean, we live in that anyhow.
Yeah.
We need to have that. Mm-hmm. I would much prefer, like you just said, mm-hmm. that we share the love, the care, yes. The fact that the Lord gives us everlasting life.
Yes.
May not be tomorrow, but I mean, yes. you know.
Yes.
There's hope.
Yes. And that's
there's
what we
hope.
Need. A good word. And you know what? That's so true. And listen, can I tell you something? You need both sides of the coin, right? You need to share. Hey, here's the bottom line. There is a heaven and a hell. The wrath of God's abiding for you. You're on that broad road to destruction right now if you're not born again. That's the bad news. But you know what? That's what the gospel is for. The gospel means good news. So here's the deal. The wrath of God still abides in you if you're not born again. But hey, here's the good news. There's hope. He loves you. Listen, God created us to be with him. Our sin separates us from a holy God. Our sins can't be removed by our good works. There's nothing good enough we can do to work our way to a holy God. It can't be done. Religion's been trying to do that for years. But paying the price for sin, Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood so that we could be clean. So that we could be forgiven. He died the death and took the price and paid the price for our sin, but also lived the life, the perfect life for us as a replacement for us. So that everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now. He gives you a hope and a future that you wouldn't have had. Some of you would be dead. Honest to God, some of you right here, sitting right here, if you did not know Jesus, would be dead. Some of you would have been down such a road, your marriage would be in shambles, your jobs would be in shambles, your heart would be in shambles, you would be a wreck. But because of Jesus, right? That is a wonderful thing. So we need both. A couple other hands. Anybody else? I saw a hand up. Okay, Heidi over there, would you deliver that in the corner?
Back to the previous slide where you were. In order to be able to say, for him to be able to say, I am innocent of the blood, he has accepted Christ's forgiveness. And many times, yes. for many of us, yes, we accept in our heads, you know, we know. But yet it's really hard. We keep holding those past sins against ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we have a hard time. Christ really did forgive me.
Yes.
I am no longer guilty of that. In order to be able to say I'm innocent of the blood, we have to be able to accept and believe that Christ really did forgive us, and we can't keep holding those sins against ourselves.
Yes. And you know what? And I can do that too. I have a past. Not such a good one. So do you. But I've got a blood transfusion that has made me new, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. So when the enemy comes in, or even my flesh, I sometimes can't forgive myself or think I can't do it. He reminds me, hey, that's not me. What does my word say about this? What does my word say about you? You are adopted. What does my word say about you in this situation? You take captive every thought that doesn't line up with my word and what I say about you, and you make it obedient to Christ. And we stand on not what we think, even in our own minds, or what the enemy whispers, but what God says in his word to us. That's why it's so important for us to get all the word in us. Okay, here. If anybody hasn't got one of these, we hand out a lot of them. Time with God, New Testament devotional, okay? Short devotional, all right? If anybody has not got one, it will take you through the New Testament in 1 year. Okay, it's a free gift. In Jesus' name, thank you. Would you mind passing this out? Raise your hand. It's a gift. If we don't have, we'll get more. It's just a short little thing, and it'll take you through the New Testament. It'll give you an Old Testament corresponding verse, and then it'll also give you a little question, something to think about, or insight from Beth Moore or Chuck Swindoll or somebody like that. It's free. It's a gift to you. We just want you in the Word, okay? Did anybody not get one that raised their hands? Okay, Rumsey back there. Ah, here, look at this. Rumsey. All right, you can give them to him, and then I will grab a couple more. I'll bring them in next week. How's that sound? Who still needs one? I just want to see your face. One, two. Okay, three. Four. Okay. Five, done. We'll keep bringing them in, because that's what the Word of God is going to wash you with, the watering of the Word. It's going to renew your mind, change your thinking. That's what He does. All right, so let's keep going. We'll bring in some more next week. So now you have to come next week. That's our secret to get you to come back. Okay. All right, get that light just for a second. All right, so this is what he's saying. So he goes in verse 2, the Lord's going to answer him now. And the Lord's going to answer him in such a way, he's going to give him an answer. And he's like, my answer is going to be permanent, it's going to be plain, and it's going to be practical. Okay? My word, God's word, is permanent, it's plain, and it's practical. Permanent, plain, practical. Here's what he says. He says in verse 2, this is his answer. Then the Lord replied to Habakkuk. He said, write down this revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. He's saying, listen, I'm going to judge these Babylonians too, okay? But he says, write down this revelation. He's wanting him to write it down, what he's speaking to him. In that same way, God wants us to make what he says to us permanent. Listen, if you don't have your own Bible, can I encourage you to get one at the Christian bookstore? I think you should be underlining Bible verses, making little highlight, make little cross references. I got so much writing in my Bible. It's like everything God's spoken to me, I write it down, or a verse or something like that. Write it down. How about this? Even more so. God wants this. God loves that you have a Bible, and he loves that you read it, but here's where he wants it. He wants it written. I'm not going to do that to you. He wants it written on the tablet of your heart. He wants it written there permanently so that no one can take it from you or rob you of it. By how they act, by what they say. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, I want you to write it down. Ray, he's saying, I want to write it on the tablet of your heart this Proverbs 7:2-3, I love it. Whoever did this slide was amazing. Okay, yeah, I did it. That was a little shameless plug. Okay, but it says this. It says, keep my commandments and you'll live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablets of your heart. If you're just coming here for information, you are missing the whole boat. If this doesn't change the way you parent, if this doesn't change the way that you, your marriage, if this doesn't change the way what you watch on TV, what you watch in the movies, what you listen to, how you speak to people, how you react to people, something's wrong. He wants to write his word on your heart to change you forever so that you can be a light for him. He says, I want you to write it down, so that, make it permanent. And then he says in verse 2, he says, I want you to make it plain on tablets. I want you to make it plain. You know, I want you to make it plain to the people, but that's whenever you teach God's word, whenever you're sharing. I've watched many people, they try to be so intellectual about God. Do you know what I'm saying? Deep theological sayings and things. Yes. Transubstantiation. You know, there's tons of words. Just speak plain to people. We were in, we went on a trip, and we went to, not Andy Stanley's church, Charles Stanley's church. And we all went there, and they interacted in a cool, I love, you know how Mrs., the head of CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, was saying, I love this church. You guys ask questions. You guys talk. I love that too. But in Charles Stanley's church, I don't know if it's because they're in the Atlanta area or culture, but I just love it because they're like, he's speaking, and they're like, preach it! Yes, preach it! You know, there's this like person over to the left, you know, like, if you, how about it, guys, right? They're like, just preach it. Go, Pastor, go. And another lady's like, make it plain, Pastor, make it plain. I was like, yeah. I want to be like, yeah, hallelujah. You know, I was like, that, love it. But that's what he wants us to do with his word, is to make it plain so that people like us can understand it, right? You know, wow, that pastor was so deep. Hey, what did he talk about? Yeah. I don't know, but it was so deep. He's so spiritual. What? Who cares? I'd rather have you think I'm a knucklehead, but at least understand some of what I'm saying. Yeah. I'd rather not you think I'm a knucklehead, but you know what I'm saying. So he's like, okay, here he's saying, Habakkuk, I want you to write it down, make it permanent, and then make it plain so people to understand it. Nehemiah 8:8, when they come back into the land, it says in Nehemiah 8:8 that they read from the word of God, and they clearly explained the meaning of what was being read. And they helped the people understand each passage. That's what we're to do. So in order for you to learn and to help others, you have to learn it yourself. If you want to learn more, I will send you audio teachings. I will give you books. I will give you commentaries. I will spend time with you. Someone else will. Whatever you want. And if you tell me and I forget, you come back to me. I want you to learn. We will put it in your heart. Put it in your hands. Well, you have to put it in your heart, but we can put it in your hands. And then he goes on to say, I want you to make it permanent, make it plain. But he says, so that they will run with it. So basically to me, okay, that's practical. Permanent, plain, and practical. I want you to run with it. I don't just want you to take it in and just sit there. Bleh. God wants his word, so you'll run with it. You'll take it back to your job. You'll take it back to your school. You'll take it back to your friends. You'll take it back to your online gaming. You'll take it back to wherever. Listen, Psalm 119 says, I run in the paths of your commands. For you've broadened my understanding. Or another translation said, you've set my heart free. When God's word's spoken, it'll set your heart free. You'll want to run with it. You'll want to take it to other people. That's what his word is to do. Again, whether they listen or fail to listen. Run in the path of his commands. And then he goes on to say, okay, we're getting through all chapter 2, so let me speed it up a little bit. Okay, so he says this revelation is awaits an appointed time. Hey, it's going to happen. It's in the future. Babylon's going to be judged too. It's going to happen. And he said it won't be proved false. Because whenever God speaks God's word, it's never proved false. Listen, if I could just encourage you guys in this. Hit the lights for 1 second, Chris, if you would. 1 Kings 8:56 says this. Praise the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. And I love this part. Not one word has failed of all his wonderful promises. You might not have seen it come to fruition yet in your life, but not one word will fail of God's promises. You hold on to them by faith. Not because I said it, because he says it. God's word says the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands for a long time. No, it stands forever. You can trust his word. Hey, I hope I'm not going to be dead soon, but there's going to be a time where I'm dead. You're still going to go on, you younger folks. You can trust the word. And look at this. I love Matthew 24, 35. Says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. They're going to last forever. And so that's what he's saying here too. He says, my word won't prove false. And those, though it lingers, wait for it. It'll certainly come. Now, we don't like to wait on the Lord very much, do we? Is there anybody here who likes to wait? Please raise your hand. Nobody. Okay, other than Michael and George. Well, George, you'd make a great technician then because you wait for those updates all the time. But most of us don't like to wait on the Lord, right? We want change now. Like, here's the deal. If I'm presenting the gospel to you, or the word, I want you to change right this second. That's me. But sometimes it takes a long time, isn't it? Sometimes our timing and God's timing is different. Waiting on the Lord sometimes is not fun, but that's what he says to do. You know, are you getting tired of waiting on the Lord? I've watched a lot of people rush ahead and they get into trouble. Now, here's the neat thing about God. If you're a born-again Christian and you love him, even if you rush ahead, God's going to get you back to where you need to be because he loves you. But can I tell you something? You just added a lot more misery and pain to your life than you needed to have. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen to this. Trust in God's timing. It's better to wait a while and have things fall into place than to rush and have things fall apart. Isn't that true? You're rushing, rushing, rushing because you want things to fall into place. And excuse me, instead of waiting, waiting, waiting for things to fall into place in God's timing, you're trying to force it and cram it and rush it and it's falling apart. Stop forcing it. Wait on the Lord. Here's what he says. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6, especially in America, we don't want to wait for anything. If I order a burger at Burger King, if I have to wait more than like 2 minutes, it's like, oh, Chick-fil-A sandwich, I have to wait. Somebody refill my soda. But the Bible says, Psalm 130, 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I'll put my hope. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in your word, Lord. Here's what he says also. Psalm 27, 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. If you'll wait on him, he'll strengthen you. Wait on the Lord. Yes, Nehemiah, would you give that to Mr. Mark Manley?
You know, when we talk about waiting, we still have an expectation of seeing that wait come to fruition. But I remember the day that our son Jared was born, and my mother prayed a prayer of dedication over his life, unbeknownst to me or anybody else, until later on in her life. She never saw that come to fruition. And to this day, he's now starting to answer that call that my mother prayed over him 45 years ago. We may never see it, but that does not mean it won't happen, because one of the amazing things about prayer is it's eternal.
Yes.
It's not just right here, right now. It can be right here, right now, but it is eternal.
Yes.
And we can be encouraged by that. We are fortunate to see the fruition coming to be in his life, in our lifetime.
Yes.
My mother never saw it.
Yes.
But she had faith in him that he would make it come true.
And it did happen.
It is happening.
See?
Right now.
Yes. And by faith, you may not always get to see everything that you want. You know, a lot of the word is given out here. We don't know what happens. You're planting seeds. Someone else might water it, and God might make it grow. Right there, Nehemiah. Susan.
I gave the testimony of a person in my life that came to the Lord, and I will tell you, at the beginning, I was like everyone else. I want to see it. I want to see it now. And I even wrote that personal letter, said, look, the Lord's going to give me my family in heaven, and I want you to be part of it. So if you don't do it for me, do it for you, which is not the right way to approach it. But that's how passionate I was about wanting that person to come to the Lord. And I will tell you, I finally gave it up. I said, Lord, if I don't see it in my lifetime, I don't care as long as it happens. And when I did that, the Lord gave me the blessing not only to see it, but to be the one to bring that person to the Lord.
Wow.
And you would much rather wait for that coming to the Lord to be sincere from their heart
instead of just words,
than just to hear them say what you want them to say.
Amen, sister. He says this, and you guys remember that. Here's a wonderful promise in Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, and they will not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's his promise. You wait on the Lord, this is what he'll do for you. You can take that to the bank. If I had to think of I don't know if you'd call this an acrostic or what are you, but if I had to think of what wait means in the Lord, it's watch, ask, invite, and trust. As you wait, watch God work his way. Watch him working. Don't try to force it. As you're waiting, watch him. Be looking. He's always working around you. Micah 7:7 says this, as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. And Psalm 59:9 says, you are my strength. I watch for you, O God. You're my fortress on whom I can rely. And the A, ask. So under wait, watch, ask. Ask God about his purposes. Sometimes it has nothing to do with them and everything about you. He might be trying to do a work in your heart. You're thinking it's all about him or all about her, and he's trying to work right in your own heart. Ask him. Matthew 7:7 says this, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask him, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to teach me here? I know you got to change my husband, my wife, my boss, my son, my daughter, my friend, my situation, my circumstances. What are you trying to do in me? Invite God to work in your heart. I couldn't think of a scripture that had the word invite in it, and I didn't, but Psalm 139:23-24 says this. You're inviting God. Search me, O God, and know me. Test me and my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends me and lead me along the path of everlasting life. When you're waiting, ask God to do a work. We're always focused on everybody else. How about you ask, you know, in every marriage counseling I ever do, this is almost the first thing that I have to do. Okay? And every counseling situation, if there's two people involved, here's what we have to do here. We have to do, this is what it is, and we have to turn it back to that. In other words, everybody's pointing the finger at the other person because they all know it's just them, instead of looking at themselves, asking God, search me. I invite you, God, show me what part of this is my fault and help me correct that. When you're waiting, watch, ask, invite. And then finally, when you're waiting, trust. Trust God to fulfill his plans. He'll do it. You guys know this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, or you'll go bananas. Seek His will. Oh, whose will? If you seek His will in all that you do, He will direct your paths. Interesting. Some conditions in there, but yeah. So when you're waiting, that's what you do. Watch. Ask, invite, and trust. I'm going to skip that. Oh, Lordy. You may have. All right, hit the light, Chris. Thank you, buddy. It says this. It goes on to say in verse 4, it's talking about faith, and I like this. Faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but has the power to connect you to what you need wherever you're at. You're never out of range. So he's going to talk about faith in verse 4. And I like how the New Living Translation says it. He says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. But the righteous shall live by his faith. He's talking about the Babylonians, right? He's like, man, those Babylonians, they're brutal people. They're trusting in themselves, their military, their might, their power. He says, but they're crooked. But listen, in contrast to them, you who are righteous, who are right living with God, I want you to live by faith. Do you know there's a Bible verse almost right in the middle of the Bible? I think it's Psalm 118. And it says, I'll just see if it's here. I'm just going from memory here. I don't have it written down. I don't have it. But I think it's the exact middle of the Bible. All right, give me just a second. It's Psalm 118. And we'll see if I'm... Verse 8. And it says this. It is better to take refuge and trust in the Lord than to trust in man. Listen, you can trust in your money. You can trust in your relationships. You can trust in your job. You can trust in everything, your own power, your ability, your intellect, your wisdom, your wit, your craftiness. Or you can trust in the Lord. The righteous are going to live by faith. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to go over it. You know, sometimes we don't see the whole picture when we're looking at things, because we're looking at it horizontally, but God sees the whole picture vertically. We have to trust Him by faith. It's part of what we do. For I will walk by faith even when I cannot see, 2 Corinthians 5 says. And here's one more thing that we need to remember when we're talking about living by faith. Here's the bottom line. We have victory through our faith. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, towards the end of your Bible, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That's a wonderful promise right there. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. It's trusting in Him. It's trusting in His word, regardless of your situation. Does that make sense, guys? It works because He works. It works because He works. Chris, would you hit that light again? Sorry, buddy. Okay, now we're going to go like light speed for the rest of the verses. Okay, here we go. All right. Habakkuk. So now he's just going to go on to say, and he's saying, hey, these Babylonians. It goes in verse 5. It says, indeed, wine betrays him. The Babylonians were known for their alcohol and drinking. And it says, he is arrogant and never at rest, verse 5 says. He is greedy. He is as greedy as a grave. And like death, he's never satisfied. It says he gathers to himself all the nations and takes captives of all the people. But you know what's going to happen to the same king Nebuchadnezzar? He's going to look over Babylon after he captures Israel. And he's going to say, look at all that I have conquered. Look at all that I've created. Look at all that I've done. Move over, world. Move. Move. And if you've ever read the story of Daniel, God's going to rebuke him for that. Saying, I did this, I did that. And he starts acting like a wild, crazy animal for a few years until he humbles himself and acknowledges the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody's hand is up. Hezekiah, would you? Yes, thank you. Good job, Nehemiah.
Like when you were saying that the wine would betray them in Babylon, what I thought was kind of interesting is when the Persians took them over, that was like right after they had their great big party where they were drinking, you know, wine from the Lord's cups and stuff. So I don't know.
That's good. I didn't think about that. Excellent. Great job. And he's just going to give them four woes here, and we're just going to cover them really quickly. And I don't mean like Joey from Blossom. Do you remember that guy?
Whoa.
Okay. He goes on to say, this is Babylon. He said in verse 6, it says, "Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, 'Woe to him who piles up stolen goods,'" this is the first woe, "'and makes himself wealthy by extortion? How long must this go on? Will not our debtors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim. Because you have plundered many nations, Babylon, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed man's blood and have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them." The first woe is, hey man, you're destroying things. You're piling up wealth for yourself. You're stealing stuff. And you know what? You guys already know this. The Bible says stop stealing and start sharing. Exodus 20 verse 15 says thou shalt not steal. That's pretty clear, isn't it? 1 Timothy says it's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Don't get caught up in money. You can't serve God in money. And here they're taking over all these territories and lands and they've got all this stuff. The world is theirs. But yet they're wicked people, and God says to them what he would say to us in Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world and lose their soul?" What are you willing to trade for your soul? He goes on with the next woes in the second woe in verse 9 through 11. "Woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain, to set his nest on high, to escape clutches of ruin." You know what? There's a place in Israel by the Dead Sea called Masada. It's beautiful. It was Herod's place where he would run away. I wish I had a picture of it. I don't have it today. And it's gorgeous. It's still there today. You can still walk up the serpent's path. I did that. One time I took a cable car, one time just to show I could do it. I walked up the serpent path that's been used for 2,000 years. That you would think that that place would be impregnable. I mean, you could not get in. But in 70 AD, when the Romans came in, they built up an earth ramp. You can still see it there, where they built on this Masada. And they took over this place that you thought, man, was so high, nobody could get to them. Just like these Babylonians thought to themselves. Just like some people you know think to themselves. I got so much money. I got so much smarts. I got so much friends. Nothing's going to stop me, right? That's sad. And he goes on to say, verse 10, "You've plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your own life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it." And the third woe is just about violence. He says, "Woe to him who builds a city on bloodshed." And that's what the Babylonians were doing. "And establishes a town by crime. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing?" And it's almost like he starts just to praise. He's like, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord and the waters in the sea." Listen, the Babylonians were trying to build by violence, and here's what God's word says. "The violence of the wicked will destroy them, for they refuse to do what is right." And that's going to happen to the Babylonians. They're going to be destroyed. And this last woe here, "Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pouring it from a wineskin till they're drunk so that they can gaze on their naked bodies." Hey, I'm glad we don't have that happening today. Anywho, verse 16 says, "You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it's your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and the destruction of animals will terrify you, for you have shed man's blood and destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. It's a sad, sad state that they're in. Just for the record, the Bible doesn't say you can't drink. It does say you don't get drunk. Don't get high. Don't get buzzed. You get the idea, right? Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. I think that's pretty clear. Okay? That's not my word. That's from God's word. Ephesians 5:18 simply says this to us. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. But instead, in contrast to that, instead of being filled with the wine and the beer, how about you be filled with the Holy Spirit and be controlled by Him instead of the booze? How about that? How about not letting the pot control you and the pills control you and the wine control you? How about you let the Holy Spirit control you and fill you up? There's no better high than that. And unless I not preach the truth, and if you think, oh, drunkenness, what's the big deal, right? Okay, listen. In Galatians 5:20, he's talking about idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and other sins like these. He says, let me tell you again, as I tell you before, that anyone living that sort of life will what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're struggling with that, let me call on you to cry out to the Lord. And then basically the last verse is here, and we'll close out in prayer. Babylon was known for its idols, and verse 18 to 20 says, of what value is an idol since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts its own creation, and he who makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to a lifeless stone that says, wake up. Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold or silver. There is no breath in it, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let the earth be silent before him. Listen, we don't serve, can I just be blunt, honest? I don't know how to communicate this any other way. I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve an idol. I don't serve a religion. I don't serve a church. I don't serve a denomination. I serve a living Lord. My God is alive. My God is well. I know my God. And I don't know what I can do to communicate Him to you and a life that's lived with Him in it. But it will change your life. You can't encounter my God and stay where you're at. You can't stay the same. I might not know how to say everything. I might not know how to communicate it. But I want to encourage you to give an ear and to come to know my Lord Jesus Christ. For He is a wonderful counselor and a mighty God. Prince of Peace and Everlasting Father. Amen. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your word that doesn't return void, Lord. I ask that you would impress your word on your people's hearts, Lord, and that you would change thoughts and thinking and words and actions and lives so that your word would affect every area of our life, Lord. I ask for your blessing. Everyone is here for a reason, God. Is here for a reason. I pray, Lord, you would bless them with truth, that they wouldn't leave this place, Lord, without you hiding something in their mind and heart, planting it deep, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, and we thank you for your precious and holy word that never returns void, but accomplishes the purpose you set it out for. And Lord, as we come back during the week for Bible studies or for next Sunday to hear Habakkuk's prayer of response, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be blessed. And I pray that this week your people would seek your face, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.
tonight.